are listening to the very best of community radio, presenting the gospel at 88.1. This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria, Louisiana.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 N.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
That a man would lay down his life for his friend. We thank God today that we serve a Savior who is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Come on, thank God for our choir. Amen. There is no greater love. I'm certainly happy to have my nephew back home from training. Amen. Shannon there. And also happy to see, I think, Sister Jaleesa Howard's whole family is here today. Jannard and Brother Howard, glad to see you. Amen. God bless you and all of the people of God who share with us in the house of the Lord on today. We are happy to see you in spite of the rain. Amen. Somebody woke up and realized that Jesus paid such a great sacrifice that a little rain ought not stop us from coming out to worship him and give him praise. Father, we thank you now for this preaching privilege. It is our prayer, oh God, that you would speak a word into our hearts, a word that will remind us that you're God and that you're God all by yourself. We thank you for the blessings we receive in this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. In the book of Matthew, chapter 27, Matthew chapter 27. We're going to look at verses 62 through 66, and then we're going to read into chapter 28 and the first eight verses thereof. Matthew chapter 27, verses 62 through 66. There you will find these words. Now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that that deceiver said while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Command therefore that the sepulcher be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead, so that the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, ye have a watch, go your way, make it as sure as ye can. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. And then chapter 28, verses 1 through 8, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. For just a few moments this morning, I want you to think with me in terms of a subject for this sermonic experience: great expectations. Great expectations. Thank you, ushers. It does not happen often in life, but there is no joy like being pleasantly disappointed. There is nothing in the world that will make you smile more than when you expected the worst and got the best. When you were convinced and convicted that something was going to be bad and it turned out to be good. There's nothing in the world like believing that something is going to be unpleasant and it turns out to be enjoyable. You begin to smile when you have an experience that you thought would be catastrophic or calamitous and it turns out to be pleasantly pleasing. You thought the test was going to be hard, but it turned out to be easy. You thought they weren't going to like you, and they fell head over heels for you. Okay, I haven't found your row yet. Let me talk to the sisters that are here. You were convinced that the shoes or the dress was going to be expensive, but when you got to the store, you found out that they were on clearance sale. There is nothing in the world like receiving good news when you expected bad news. When you thought that your child was going to bring home another failing report card, and you found out that they made all A's and B's. I tell you, there's nothing in the world quite like expecting a nightmare, and it turns out to be a dream come true. There's nothing in the world like expecting hell, and you end up getting heaven. Amen. Nothing in the world like going to the doctor and you thought that they were going to give you bad news only to walk in and hear them tell you they did not find anything wrong. I've come by to tell you today that there is nothing in the world like being convinced that you're going to be laid off and they tell you that you're the one that got the promotion. There's nothing in the world, I tell you, like expecting the worst and getting the best. Well, my brothers and sisters, this is the experience of these women in our text on this first Easter Sunday morning. As these women made their way to the tomb, you discover that they went there with low expectations. Tell your neighbor, they went there with low expectations. You have to understand that they had seen Jesus beaten. You have to understand that they had seen Jesus whipped and mocked and spat upon. You have to understand that they had seen him crucified. They saw him die on that old rugged cross. They saw him being wrapped up and laid in a tomb. But what they did not know is that after Jesus had died, the Pharisees had gathered together with the chief priest and gone to Pilate and made an argument that went something like this: we believe that the disciples are up to something because Jesus said that he would arise from the dead in 3 days, and Mr. Pilate, we don't need another uprising. So this is what we need you to do. Give us some soldiers to stand in front of the tomb because we don't want any disciples to creep in during the midnight hour and steal the body of Jesus and go off spreading lies that he lives. So Pilate, under the advice of the Pharisees, grants them a guard to stand outside of the tomb to keep away any of the disciples. When the Sabbath is over and the first day of the week dawns, these women have gone to the tomb, but they did not go to see a resurrected Jesus. For in their minds, Jesus was still dead, and they knew that they were going to simply anoint his body in preparation for a proper burial. They went to mourn. They went to grieve. They went to shed some tears. Their expectation was low. They did not believe that anything good could be found in the graveyard. And when they got there, they found an angel sitting outside. And according to Luke, the angel slaps them on the hand and chastises them for their low expectations. This is what the angel said. He said, "Why do you come here with low expectations? Why are you looking for the living among the dead? Why is your head hanging down? And why are you sorrowful and depressed? What has happened in life that has taken your hope and your faith and your joy, and now you're walking around as if you don't have any reason to rejoice? Why are you living with low expectations?" And my brothers and sisters, I think you all realize that every now and then, we as believers go through some things that can steal your joy. Do I have any witnesses here today? We experience some things that diminish our faith in God, and we walk around defeated and depressed, broken and beaten, lost and locked out, as if we have no reason to expect great things from a great God. And the angel said, "Don't you know this is Easter Sunday morning? This is Resurrection Day. And the message of resurrection is that believers have no business living with low expectations." I wonder if I can get a witness today that if you believe in God and serve Jesus Christ, you should always have your head lifted up, expecting God to give you the best in the midst of the worst. And so watch what he does. This angel, he says, "Go on and take a look in the tomb and see what God has done." You walked in here depressed and discouraged and defeated and sad and sorrowful. So let me show you what the Lord has done in this graveyard. And y'all, the angel shows them four things that you ought to take note of, so that you don't leave here today on this Resurrection Sunday sad and depressed and defeated. Come on, somebody came in here, amen, amen, with a sad attitude, with a sad spirit. But I hope by the end of this message, you will leave here with some pep in your step. That you will leave here with your head lifted high, knowing that a great God offers great expectations. Is there anybody who can praise God in advance for what you know he's able to do? The angel says, number one, look and see that the seal has been removed. When the Pharisees go to Pilate, they ask him for a guard to guard the tomb. But Pilate says, "I'm going to do you one better. I'm going to put my seal on the stone that is in front of the grave. I'm going to put my signet, my sign on the stone that is in front of the grave." You have to understand that Pilate is the governor of Judea, and he is a prefect of Rome. He has the authority of the emperor of Rome, and so he puts in a real sense the signature of the emperor on the stone to let anyone who passes by it know that if you break this seal of the Roman emperor, that is a crime that is punishable by death. Watch it, watch it, watch it, watch it, watch it. He has the authority of the emperor. The emperor of Rome was at that time known to be the greatest human power on earth. And if Caesar has made a declaration that the stone shall not be moved or tampered with, no one will dare mess with what the emperor has said should not be moved. But when they got there, tell your neighbor when they got there, the seal of the Roman emperor had been removed because God had the unmitigated gall. God had the audacious audacity to declare that I don't care what Caesar has said, and I don't care what the government has put in place, I don't care what human hands have closed, God says I have the power to open it up. Oh, somebody's gonna hear me today. God said, I know that Caesar doesn't want this stone to be removed. I know that the Pharisees don't want it opened. I know that Pilate doesn't want it opened, but God says, I am that I am. And I don't care what anybody else has said. God says his word is greater. Is there anybody here who knows that God's word is greater? Now, if you understood that, that ought to have been at least your first amen. When you hear that God is greater than anything or anybody you know, do I have a witness today? God is greater than anything or anyone that you know, and you never have to be discouraged by something someone else has said about your life. Don't you know that you serve a God who's not limited by what others say or think about you? Oh, we're gonna help somebody today. I come by to tell you God is greater than your boss. I've come by to tell you that God is greater than your mother and your father. I come by to tell somebody that God is greater than your coworkers. God is greater than your surgeon. God is greater than your haters. And it doesn't matter what they think or say. All that matters is what God says. Don't you hear the psalmist saying, amen, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. God cannot be limited by what other people say or think. If they say you can't, and God says you can, you will. If they say you won't, and God says you will, you shall. It doesn't matter what they have said. As a matter of fact, you ought to stop listening to what other people have whispered in your ear and start listening to God, because God is greater. Come on and praise a greater God. God said, I ain't worried about Caesar. When Caesar is sleeping, I'm navigating and circumnavigating the stars and the moon and the planets and controlling the output of the sun. When Caesar is sleeping, God says, I got it all in control. Now, I said that should have been your first amen. But can I give you the second reason? You ought to say amen this morning. See, I know some of y'all need a reason to say amen. Here it is. Here it is. When God removed the seal, y'all, in a real sense, God broke the rules of Rome. The rules said that the seal should not be removed, and God broke the rules to resurrect Jesus. I don't know who I'm preaching to this morning, but I believe I have one or two people in here this morning who will testify that in order for you to get where you have gotten, and in order for the Lord to do what he's done in your life, he had to break some rules. Can I get somebody in here to testify that the way the Lord has blessed you disturbed some people around you because it did not fit the plan they had for your life? But I am so glad. I said I'm so glad that God will break the rules in order to bless you. I came by to preach to somebody who knows that you were last on the list, but you got the job anyway. I came by to talk to somebody who knows you didn't go to the right school, but you got the blessing anyway. You didn't come from the right family, but the Lord blessed you anyway. Is there anybody here that is a living, walking, breathing testimony that God will break the rules to bless you? Oh, I don't, you ain't blessed. You ain't blessed. You ain't blessed. You ought to thank him. Tell you, he'll break the rules in order to bless you. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, the seal was removed. That means, again, that God doesn't care what anybody else has said. He's got the final word. The seal was removed. That means that God will break the rules in order to bless you. Come on, blessed folk, give him a hand of praise. But here's my next point. Not only was the seal broken, the stone was rolled away. Why is that important, Pastor? Well, it's important because as these ladies made their way to the grave, they had a question in their mind as to how this heavy stone is going to be moved. They knew it was too big for them to handle, and the stone was going to be a problem in order for them to get to Jesus' body, to anoint his body, and they did not know what they were going to do to move the stone. But when they got to the grave, oh Lord, they found out that God had already rolled the stone out of the way. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something, my brother. Let me tell you something, my sister. Don't ever let the forecast of a problem keep you from following after your destiny. Because we serve a God who has a way of handling the problem before you ever get to it. Oh my, oh my, oh my. I wish I had a witness. He's got a way. He's got a way of solving the problem before you get to the problem. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying that while you're trying to figure it out, God is already working it out. That's why somebody sitting here this morning mean mugging me. You can't clap, you can't say amen, because you worried about a problem down the road, down the way. But I come by to tell somebody that we serve the kind of God who will move the problem before you ever get to. I know I've got some witnesses in this place today. Now look, now look, now look. The Bible says that the earth shook because an angel. Oh, I wish Sister Lot were here today. She loves angels. I know she's under the weather. But amen, amen. The Bible says that the earth shook because an angel came. If you ever go to her house, you'll find in Miss Lot's house, she got angels everywhere. Angels painted on the ceiling. Angels all around. Amen. Thank God for angels. Y'all buy her the tape. All of y'all buy her the tape. All right. Hallelujah. When they made it to the grave, they found the angel sitting on the stone they were worried about moving. And y'all, I believe, let me imagine in my sanctified imagination that the angel is sitting on the stone so they will know, yeah, I moved it. God sent an angel to handle the problem before they got there. I'm so glad that God has angels on assignment that he dispatches from his divine throne to work on my behalf and work out some stuff before I even get to it. Can I tell you why your neighbor ain't shouting? You want to know why? See, because your neighbor only, when you talk about angels, your neighbor can only imagine somebody in a long white robe with some big wings and a gold halo over their head. But I come by to tell you that those are not the only types of angels. God has some African-American angels. God has some Caucasian angels. God has some Hispanic angels. God has some Asian angels that he'll use to bless you. I said he'll use them to bless you. I said he'll use them to bless you. Can I take a quick survey in here? Is there anybody here that was going through something that you did not know how you were going to handle, and God sent the right person to the right place at the right time to do the right thing to help you out even before you got there? You didn't even know them. You didn't know why they were acting on your behalf. But thanks be to God, he uses angels to bless us. Now, I need to pause here parenthetically to let you know the difference between an angel and a friend. There's a difference between an angel and a friend. See, when you ask somebody to help you and they show up, that's a friend. You know, when you call them and tell them you need them and they show up to help you, that's a friend. When you need $20 and you ask them for $20 and they give you $20, that's a friend. But let me tell you the difference between a friend and an angel. An angel doesn't have to be asked. An angel don't wait for you to call. An angel is not waiting, amen, for an email or a text message. As a matter of fact, an angel is not even responding to your request at all. An angel is responding to a command given by God to go and help one of his children. Thank God for angels. Thank God for angels. The old folk used to sing a song. All night, all day, I got angels watching over me. Give him a praise. Give him a praise. There's something else. Because not only was there a seal, and not only was there a stone, but there were some soldiers guarding Jesus' tomb. They had been given the directive that if anybody tries to mess with this stone, take them out. If anybody comes near this grave, arrest them. There were some guards with weapons who stood outside of the tomb, and when the women made their way, the soldiers should have arrested them. The soldiers should have pulled out their swords, but the Bible says that the soldiers had been restrained by fear, and they stood trembling while the Lord was blessing these women. I came by to tell somebody up in here today that God can restrain your enemies. And somebody needed to know that. Somebody's dealing with enemies on your job, enemies, amen, around you. But God told me to come by and tell you that God is able to restrain your enemies. Because you have people that are in your way, people that are trying to bring you down, people that are trying to poison your spirit, but God says, I've got this. Sister Connie, God says, I've got it. I've got this. I know they hate you, but I've got this. I know they want to tear you down, but I've got this. Tell your neighbor, God is able to handle your enemies. The Bible says, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon. I said soon. I said soon. I'm talking about quicker than right now. God is able to cut them down. Cut them down. My brothers and sisters, I need to tell you that nobody can handle your enemies like God. No one can shut a lion's mouth like God. No one can save you in the fiery furnace like God. No one can turn enemies into your footstools like God. No one can uncover deceitful, deceptive, and manipulative people like God. No one can disable a weapon that was formed against you like God. As a matter of fact, while you're wasting time putting all your business on Facebook, cussing them out, talking about how you're going to get them back and how you're going to get even with them and how you're going to destroy them, you ought to give it to the Lord. I said you ought to give it to the Lord. Sit back and watch the Lord. Won't he work it out? I said, won't he work it out? Won't he make a way out of no way? Whoo, thank you, God. God says, I can handle your enemies. I can handle your enemies. Now, that should have made you smile, but this ought to make you shout. Look at these guards. They were restrained, but they were not removed. They were restrained, but they were not removed. The Lord restrained them, but he didn't remove them. When the women made it there, they were restrained, but they were not removed. Somebody's going to catch it in a minute. And so they had to watch what the Lord was doing. They didn't like it, but they couldn't stop it. They didn't want it, but they couldn't do anything about it. All they could do, Brother Cutright, was stand there. Do I have a witness? I'm so glad that God will prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I'm so glad that God will bless you in front of your enemies. Listen, some of you have been asking the Lord to deliver you from certain people, but God sent me by to tell you, I don't have to deliver you from them in order to bless you. I can bless you with them looking. I can bless you in a hostile environment. I can bless you around people that hate you. I can bless you in the presence of people who cannot stand.